a word that I think I really only hear mainly in church, and I'm wondering if you have heard this before. The word is stewardship. You've heard this word? That's not funny. I mean, yeah, stewardship. We use it a lot in the church, right? So what are some things when you hear the word stewardship? What are some of the things that you might think of if you've heard that a lot in the church?
Service.
Money.
Money.
We talk about that a lot.
Talents.
Taking care of things.
Talent.
Right, so it's all these different things. And I think a lot of times when we talk in the church about stewardship, you know, a lot of times we talk about money a lot because, let's be honest, it takes money to pay the bills. It takes money to get the heat on, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's kind of part of our everyday, right? But I think sometimes one thing that you said was taking care of something. In fact, the word stewardship really just means taking care of, being somebody who is put in charge of something that you take care of it. What are some things that we take care of? You take care of your dog? You take care of your family? What are some other, your friends? Maybe take care of your friends? What are some other things that we take care of?
My cat.
What?
My cat.
Your cat?
My pet.
Yeah, we take our pet. The earth. We take care of the earth. Or we try to. If we do our best. One thing I gave up for Lent this year, it's been very hard. I gave up buying plastic. It has been very difficult. So I'm doing my best. But I thought, okay, I'm going to try to take care of the earth and not buy plastic. Not easy. So these are the things that we have responsibility for. That is what stewardship is what are we responsible for? And in stewardship within the church, one thing that sometimes we forget is that the first thing that comes in stewardship is spirituality, is taking care of our spiritual health. And not just individually, but as a group, right? Because as called people to this ministry of Christ, we're not just called for ourselves, as we heard in the gospel reading. You're looking out for yourself isn't what Jesus is calling us to, right? It's that call to the whole mission. But you do have to take care of yourself spiritually so that you can be able to be there for others. Like, if you're not healthy, I mean, we had some flu going around here, and how hard was it to take care of people when you have the flu?
So much fun.
It was so much fun. I mean, so it's difficult to take care of others when you yourself are not feeling well. So you do have to take care of yourself in that way first, so that therefore you can take care of others. And so spiritualness really, you know, sometimes I don't know how it is here because I'm new here, but you know, sometimes when we talk about stewardship, I think what we should do is think about our spirituality first. So I'm hoping that's, you know, something that you're connecting with stewardship is thinking about our spiritual health as well as a financial health. Because God's plan, God's business model, if you want to think of it that way, is that people are first. Is that we take care of people first. And with that is taking care of the environment. And with that is taking care of finances. And with that is taking care of the whole community. Because God gives us those gifts and blessings, right? And I find it funny, when we read the message that Paul says in the readings today, I just want to go back to that for a second. So Paul talks about Abraham, and he says that Abraham is the father of many nations. So that's, you know, we know that. But then he talks about how that Abraham didn't waver in his concerns of the glory of God, which I find it's kind of fun because Abraham, when God first told Abraham about how he was going to have lots of children, his first reaction, does anybody remember? Anybody remember that story? What's Abraham's first reaction back when he was Abram instead of Abraham? He laughed. He laughed at first, right? Because somebody comes to you, you're 100 years old,
wife for, I don't know how many, 50 years, I don't know how many, and somebody says, you're going to have lots of children. He kind of giggled a little bit at that. Like, yeah, right. And so did Sarah. So did Sarah kind of laughed too. But God doesn't stop with that. God doesn't stop with the laughs that we might have. Because one thing that we see in the Genesis reading is this is when Abram changes to Abraham. And the symbolism of that is that the H is that God is breathing this life into Abraham. And not only life, but I think the faith to say, yes, I will be the father of many nations. And Sarah has the H in her, the breath also given to her, the faith given to her. And she will say, yes, I will be the mother of many nations. And that faith that Paul talks about that is breathed into Abraham, is breathed into Sarah, is also breathed into us. And we have that faith from God, and we are given those gifts, those talents. Somebody said stewardship is the talents that we have. We are given those things by God in order to become rich and famous, in order to get lots of friends. No, but in order to serve others. In order that we may fulfill the mission of Christ to make disciples of all nations. So God's investment in us, if we're going this business route, God's investment in us is this faith. This faith that we will say yes to reaching out to others. That we will say yes when it comes to risky decisions that we may not think are going to be anything big, anything life-changing. That we will not laugh at the idea that is presented to us, but that we will say yes. And this relationship that God has with us is very different than the relationship that God had with Abraham. Because we don't get to have our names changed to what God is telling us it will be. We don't get to hear that direct voice exactly. But we are given that faith, and what that has come through is through the life of Christ. So Jesus is that relationship continuing with us and God. And Jesus is the one that has given us that mandate to go out and serve others, and he kind of says it right at the end of his time with us. Go out there and baptize all nations and do this in my name. Bring everybody into the goodness of God. So, how do we do that? We've kind of set up a structure to do that here over the last few thousand years. And the way that we have decided to do that, and the reason that you are all here today, is we've decided to do that through the church. So that is the way that we've come together and said, hey, how can we baptize the nations? How can we bring people in? How can we serve the poor? We can't necessarily do it just on our own. Let's get together. Let's do it on Sunday mornings. We'll come in. We'll sing some songs. Say some prayers, we'll listen to some prophetic words. Maybe we'll play some instruments and sing a little jazzy song later. I'm setting up for that. That's going to be a good one. So we do that here in this congregation, but are we alone? No, we are not alone. We're a part, so we are part of the Episcopal Church. Right? And first of all, we're part of the Episcopal Church in Europe, which there are lots of different congregations in Europe spread out. And not only that, we're part of the church in the USA, which is also part of the Anglican Communion. So all the people who are part of like Church of England, Church of Canada, I'm learning all these different churches. And of course, you know, we have our outreach program where we reach out to other organizations that need help. Some of them are Christian, some of them are not. But we don't stop. We don't stop with just Christians, right? We reach out to all nations. So we have these opportunities. I just listed a few that we do here at the church. And they are basically us taking the blessings, taking the faith, taking the goodness that God has given us, and we have. Oh, the answer! See, he's so excited about it. He fell on his chair. We're taking that out to other people. So, basically, we have to probably make some sacrifices to do these things. And I'm not just talking about sacrifices in our bank accounts. I'm thinking about sacrifices of our time, of those talents that we have, that we're not going to keep it all to ourselves. And sacrifice is kind of a negative word, isn't it, right? You think of a sacrifice, you think of, you know, maybe sacrificing a lamb for a burnt offering, or you think of Jesus as a sacrifice and actually losing a life. But we also think about it as a sacrifice of our time, and maybe our money, or maybe our emotions. I mean, sometimes that sacrifice goes beyond what we can handle. And when we sacrifice a lot, we give a lot of ourselves, we need to regenerate, and we come back to this community that we've decided to be part of. That we have said, let's come together. Let's do this together. So we look at Christ as this ultimate sacrifice, and we think about the things that perhaps we sacrifice in our own lives. And I know, I actually come from a family where it's just my husband and myself. So I think about people who have kids. You guys know more than me about what it means to sacrifice your time. I'm sure. I see that smile. Yeah. Because you spend lots of time with your kids, don't you? And it's a lot. You don't take a lot of that time for yourself. But how does that make you feel when you've got these kids? At the end of the day, you're done with everything, you sit down, and maybe they crawl up on your lap, and they give you a hug, and they tell you how much they love you. Isn't that amazing? That is, you know, when we reach out and do volunteer work, when we reach out and, you know, make a donation to a program that we really love to support, it's not really a sacrifice, is it? It's not. Because we know that we are giving and receiving love. And that's really what it is. And I know that, okay, I'm going to bring it around to finances. But if you think about the congregations that we have all decided to be part of, and I'm sure you've all been part of many congregations in your lives. This is not your only one. Well, maybe Leander's. But you think about all those communities and all the love that they've given you and the love that you've given back. And it does. I'm going to be honest. It takes money to make it run. It really does. And so, you know, we're coming up on our annual meeting. We're coming up on our pledges for our congregation. And I really want you to think about, you know, when you're thinking about giving money, not just to the church, but to anywhere, about how